A few pairs of gimlet-hard eyes bored defiantly into Ryan's. One pair belonged to Phil.
It is done. You are dismissed. Be happy, be loving, and remember the watchwords. Vigilance is survival. Go forth and work for our world. Charlie's world. Phil, Clem, you stay.
That was painless enough. Now what?
Now I'll brief you on the plan. We lost precious time because of that idiocy last night and the track stand today.
At a gesture from Hellstrom, the pair of Sekhmen lifted the wicker chair and carried it toward the saloon doors.
Follow me, Warlord and company.
They followed Hellstrom and the Sekhmen down the street to the eatery. A hand-scrawled closed sign hung in the dust-streaked window, but the door was unlocked. Hellstrom was carried to the largest table. After they placed him at its head, the Sekhmen took up sentry positions before the door. Ryan and his friends took seats around the table. Christy was gazing at Hellstrom distrustfully, her sentient hair lying tight to her nape. From inside his white blazer, Hellstrom produced a large folded square of paper. It was a hand-drawn map, and Ryan could tell that an experienced hand had made the drawings. When he saw a dotted line heading west from a hilly area labeled M.T. Pig, he realized the map depicted the region around Mount Rushmore.
I have no idea what lies inside of Mount Rushmore, the layout of the anthill complex, or even how big it is. However,
his finger traced the dotted line that terminated in a series of wavy lines.
The cave where we pick up our trade goods is here. The distance between the nose and the cave is 2.3 miles, so there has to be a tunnel system.
I thought you said there was just a single destination receptor unit in the cave.
I've always assumed it's one way because there are no control consoles there. However, the station has to get its power from somewhere, and it's reasonable to assume the gateway is connected to an energy conduit. Unfortunately, we can't search the cave for it because of the beetles. The only way into the complex is through the nose. Once someone gains entrance, the gateway controls can be located and used to transport an assault force inside.
Won't the commander become suspicious if he sees an armed squad hanging around the cave? You can't just sit around waiting and hoping that the gateway controls will eventually be under the control of your people.
Of course not. I'll be in contact with the scouts who enter through the nose. I have an excellent electronic communications system at my disposal.
What kind?
Small but exceptionally powerful radios. They can transmit voice or electronic signals over a 5-mile radius. Still, there will be a time lag to put the assault force in position, so they'll need to remain out of the scanning range of the beetles.
You stated you were unsure of the range of the beetles. It could be less than 5 miles, or as much as 10.
That's part of the risk, Doctor.
Since you don't have a damn germ of information about what's up there, how do you figure your scouts will survive long enough to signal the assault force? Hell, for all you know, there's a legion of sectroids just waiting for a stoop to crawl up the nose.
Sectroids?
Hunter androids. Programmed to chill intruders.
Take care of any you might meet in the anthill and you'll have nothing to worry about.
How do you expect us to get up the nose in the first place, Lars?
Come with me.
They followed the man through the dining area. Inside the kitchen, there was a heavy door sheathed in aluminum. Hellstrom marched into the meat locker, pushing a path through the sides of beef swinging from hooks. He paused by a pair of large metal containers. They were about 4 feet deep, 5 feet long, and 3 wide. They resembled utilitarian coffins. He waited until everyone was clustered around, and he raised the lid of one of the airtight oblong boxes. He waved away the cloud of vapors rising from it. Protected by transparent plastic wrappings, lying on beds of dry ice, were various human organs. Hearts, livers, a set of lungs, even a pair of eyeballs. Christy turned away. Even Ryan felt a quiver of nausea.
The other box contains what's left of the Redskins we became acquainted with the other night. Since the Freezies are expecting this shipment, you'll be able to gain entrance into the anthill with a minimum of fuss.
How's anybody supposed to breathe in there?
You'll be equipped with small oxygen tanks and the proper cold-resistant clothing.
How many of these containers do you intend to ship?
Just these two. Normally, each container carries 4 organ trays stacked on top of one another. If 2 are removed from each box, then we've made sufficient room for a pair of you, 1 to a box. There's a latch on the inside. A quick and easy way to get in and out. Let's go.
Only 2, you said. Are you planning for the ones who don't go up the nose to be your assault force?
No.
Ryan exchanged quick, disconcerted glances with his friends. Then they fell into step behind Hellstrom as he returned to the dining room. Hellstrom reclaimed his seat at the head of the table.
Obviously, Cawdor, you will be in one of the containers. You'll be supplied with weapons and whatever ordnance you might need. I'll leave it up to you to pick your partner.
What about the rest of us?
Oh, that's been covered. You'll remain here in Hellskell as my hostages.
Ryan and his friends reacted immediately, reaching for guns that weren't there. At the same time, Clem and Phil snapped up compact Tech 10 machine pistols that had been hidden beneath their clothing.
What kind of lousy deal is this, Lars?
The only deal is that there is no deal. We reached no agreements, came to no terms. Did you truly expect me to trust you? You had to be coerced to accept the honor I bestowed upon you. Even without a psi scan, I knew you were only playing along, waiting for your chance to escape. In any event, I wouldn't allow all of you to get inside the anthill. You know too much about us and could make your own deal with the commander.
I still could.
No. I think you'd rather do anything than put the lives of the friends you leave behind in jeopardy.
Now what if we're captured or killed? What happens to them?
Then we'll turn them over to the Freezies upon demand. I'll state I heard of the plan to breach their stronghold and imprison them.
They won't buy that. Not if they learn the two of us were smuggled inside their complex by hiding in merchandise boxes.
I'll have a family patsy ready. Fleur is a good choice. Disenfranchised, stripped of her rank, embittered. She'll be the perfect scapegoat to pin it all on.
Plausible deniability.
What if they still won't believe you?
I'm not under the delusion that they won't be suspicious. But as long as some culprits are caught and punished, they'll be too worried about losing their organ shipments to cut off their trade entirely.
Got it all figured out. Big plans for a big man. No matter how big, you can still die, Hellstrom.
Of course, Jack. I trust you are aware of the reverse. Ryan, we'll leave tomorrow morning at first light. You have until then to choose which of your gallant crew will share the dangers with you. Be ready tomorrow at dawn. Don't make me come looking for you.
None of the companions reacted with much surprise when they reached their rooms and found their weapons missing. They assumed the heavy weapons they had stowed inside the Land Rover had also been confiscated, such as Ryan's Steyr SSG-70 rifle and JB's M4000 shotgun. Ryan sat on the windowsill and surveyed his five friends.
Guess I waited too long to find that ace on the line.
That's because Hellstrom is holding them all. We should have expected a double cross.
Not that it matters, but I certainly did. However, let us not dwell on past should-haves. Ryan, my dear fellow, I volunteer to accompany you into the lion's den, even though Daniel had only his faith to sustain him. I am, after all, your greatest liability, and therefore the most expendable.
You? Sure you're up to a challenge like that?
JB's right, Doc. It smells like a fire-blasted hell ground, and I'm afraid the pace will be too intense for you. I appreciate the offer, though.
You forget that I have knowledge of the technology in use.
Superficial layman's knowledge, not hands-on experience. Whoever goes with Ryan will need a grounding in cryonic science. I wonder who, out of the five of us, has those qualifications.
No way, Millie.
I agree. No offense, but I can sense danger, and that's more of a necessity than knowing about pre-dark Freezy tech.
This is too critical, too important for me to make a snap decision. Give me some time to think, all right?
All right, Shu. Everybody out.
Ryan eased down on the bed, gingerly shifting so he wasn't applying pressure to his shoulder wound. Christy sat beside him and ran her fingers through his hair.
I'm bastard tired.
I'm not surprised. You've had a strenuous last few days.
No, not that kind of tired. Weary, I guess, is the word. Weary of chill or be chilled. Weary of never knowing which one of us will be the next one to board the last train west.
That's life, lover.
Is it? Is life supposed to be this way?
Christy sensed his mood and bent over to kiss him. Feeling the warmth of her face against his lips, he could also feel the heat of her firm body through his clothes. He was desperate to feel more of that heat. The day dawned white and ghostly. The AMAC drove across the barren plains, towing a four-wheeled